Hey there, podcast listeners. Just a little quick warning. There is a word uttered during the course of this episode, maybe uttered a couple of times. At this point, it's a pretty mild swear word, but we know that some of you listen with your kids or are otherwise a little more sensitive. And so we just wanted to warn you, it's got three letters. It starts with A, and it generally refers to someone's rear end. Now, if you don't want to hear that, you can skip over this episode, although it's very much not the thrust of this episode. Otherwise, let's keep on going. While I have you here, though, I will just ask you, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, someplace where you can leave a short review of the show, we'd appreciate if you do that. It helps other people find us. Also, I will remind you that you can hear us on the actual radio. We are available through PRX to public and community radio stations around the country and, as far as I know, around the world. So if your local station is not carrying us and you would like to hear us on your radio, you can contact them and let them know that they can find us on PRX. Okay, great. From KMUW Wichita,
from Toronto, Ontario,
and from Armilla, Spain,
this is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk spelling. These words seem pretty easy until you actually try to spell them out. Then all bets are off. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas, and joining me, as they do each week, New York Times bestselling authors and language experts Kathy Petrus and Ross Petrus. Hi there, Kathy Petrus, at your home in Armilla. Ross, you're, of course, there at your home in Toronto. I do know that part of today's episode will be based on a really difficult spelling test for me, but the other part of the episode is a bit of a mystery to me because you wouldn't tell me what it was about. So,
I told you to wait until today.
Oh, wait until today.
Ross is sneaky.
Or did I say wait till today?
Well, I have the email right here, and you did say until. So, okay.
But maybe I meant to say till.
Till, uh-huh. Now, would that be till apostrophe T-I-L, or would it be till T-I-L-L?
Ooh, Fletcher.
Ooh, fancy.
Let's read our question, and then we can deal with this whole thing.
Okay, we got a message. It was a message from Sab in Bar Harbor, Maine. I'm sorry, total aside. When you say Bar Harbor, do they do it like Boston? Is it like Bar Harbor?
Bar Harbor.
No offense, Sab. I was just curious. Anyway, Sab in Bar Harbor, Maine, as I would say it, was asking about the word until. And this is the first time Ross and I were ever asked this. Till, T-I-L-L, as in wait till the cows come home. Is that a shortened until or a standalone?
And let's go, Fletcher.
Well, okay, here's what I think. I think that I have read about this somewhere before, and I also think that there's absolutely no way I'm going to remember everything that I've read about it. But mm-hmm. I think that T-I-L-L not only is not a shortened version of until, but actually existed before until.
Fletcher, you win the etymology award of the not only the year, of the decade. You're completely correct.
Ross will have to get that trophy made sooner rather than later.
Yes, till is the older word. Until is a compound of the old Norse prefix und, up to, as far as, and then we have till. So you got it.
Yeah, wow. Let me ask you this. When you write, you know, I brought up the apostrophe T-I-L. When you write till, or do you ever write till? I don't know. But if you were to write till, would you write apostrophe T-I-L or would you write T-I-L-L?
I would not do apostrophe T-I-L, but I'm like one of those purists who, when I do like someone something as a joke, I will do the apostrophe N apostrophe, which most people don't bother with.
I will too. I'll do that. But I would write, particularly now knowing how till works, I would definitely not write, you know, apostrophe T-I-L-L. Till, incidentally, means goal. I didn't finish saying that.
No, goal. Not apostrophe T-I-L-L, just apostrophe
no,
T-I-L.
No, he was saying apostrophe T-I-L.
No, I wouldn't do that either. Okay. No.
Well, that's more common, though. It's weird. That is becoming more and more common, the apostrophe T-I-L. Which I would, I mean, it's, to me, that seems like kind of antiquated, but apparently that's becoming more and more common in usage.
Well, I think it's using like, you know, 'twas the night before Christmas with, you know, the apostrophe T, you know, 'twas, that sort of thing too. I think it's a, it's basically a, you're thinking of those words and you're putting the apostrophe there. But
well,
there's
they're
no
abbreviating
need to do it.
Until.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no need to do that. So I don't think I wouldn't do it. Although I would never say till either, actually, to be really fair. I don't think I've ever said.
Really? I mean, probably you just drop that first syllable sometimes.
Yeah, but I don't think I would think it, like write it in a sense. I don't think I would write it.
Yeah, that's what I wondered. I have written it, and I think I've written it both ways. I'd probably go for the T-I-L-L, though, if I were
I
to
would
do it.
Too. Mm-hmm. I would too. If I was saying, like, I'm going to like sit here and type. Okay, I can't make it till 11. That looks wrong, though. But they all look wrong. Now, until. Thank you. I'm on
well,
the until
I mean, you
person.
Know, it's only one more letter than till or apostrophe T-I-L.
So. Yeah, and apostrophes are harder to type anyway.
That's right.
They are, actually. I agree. Yeah, I wouldn't do it for that reason, too. Yeah, I wouldn't do it for that reason either. Speaking of which, Fletcher, do you touch type or not?
I don't know what that is.
You know, like when you
type.
When you type, do you need to look at the keyboard or can you just do it?
Oh.
And you use all your fingers.
Yeah, mostly I don't need to look. Every now and then I'll look down just to reorient myself or to get my bearings, but.
But you don't hunt and peck. You keep your hands on the keyboard.
Oh, yeah.
Type,
no.
Right?
I learned keyboard typing in school.
Yeah, I was talking to some people about that at the university, and a lot of people don't now. They do really fast. I actually did a test against someone because I touch type. And they were doing, you know, like pecking like that. And they're really quick. Hmm. It's weird. Mm-hmm. From computer games and stuff like that, I guess.
Although back in the day, Ross, when I was in television news, there were the guys that were the older reporters. We had literally back in the newsroom old typewriters.
Uh-huh. And they were really quick?
Type like, you know, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah,
and
it's
they
interesting.
Were insane. I mean, if
it's
they
really
were still alive, they would be like going like nuts on a phone.
I know, because I was always brought up thinking, well, you know, touch type, I mean, learning how to do it, you know, that the old, you know, the old fashioned typing class way was like you were much faster, but you're not necessarily faster at all. That's what I found too. I thought it was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I don't like though, and maybe it's just because of how my eyes work, I don't like to have to look up and down that much. Like look at the screen and look down at my hands and look at the screen.
No, I don't either. Mm-mm. I don't either.
Just a total quick aside. I was fascinated. The till and money box, as in put the cash in the till.
Mm-hmm.
I got curious about that. It completely unrelated, of course. Because I hear till more than I ever used to. As in put the money in the till.
In the till. That I hear.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with you.
I don't know. That's what it's called. Right? What else would you call it? The drawer?
The drawer.
Yeah, the drawer, the box.
But the till is the thing that comes out when you push the sale button on the register. Right?
Yeah.
Is it a box?
Boom.
The box is over
it's
there.
A drawer
That's where you
or
put
a
it.
Box.
But the interesting thing was no one knows where the word comes from, which I thought was really interesting.
Like for the money?
There's no real idea of where it comes. They have like, you know, all these things, possibly old Nork floorboard. I guess put the money in the till, put it under the floor. Possibly, but it no one really knows. Huh.
I think that makes sense, though. You tuck it under there. No one's going to get it. Your lumps of gold.
Okay, now let's move on to something really fun, which is like getting Fletcher to make many, many mistakes.
Yeah, really
let's
fun
hope.
For everyone but Fletcher.
Yes.
Well, last week you did too well, Fletcher. So,
you did.
You know,
so this week...
the gloves are off.
John McPhee gave a quote, you know, sort of a 20-word final exam in his journalism and creative writing class at Princeton University. And these are horror words to spell. And we looked very diligently. We could not find the exact score of his students, but we did find out that no one got them all correct.
Mm, okay.
And we're waiting to see you make, let's say, 5 mistakes, Kathy. What are you thinking?
I have to get a pencil and a piece of paper. I have to get this down. I think Fletcher is going to get out of 20... He's very good. I think he'll get 17.
Okay, let's go. The first word, Fletcher, you don't really have to bother usually defining them because we're pretty sure you know them, but the first word is moccasin.
Moccasin. Okay, well...
let's spell it out.
I'm already not sure.
Should we sing the Jeopardy song now?
All of these are just going to have like double letters somewhere and not double letters other places. And this is just going to completely screw me up. Well, so fine. M-O-C-C-A-S-I-N.
Yes!
You got it right.
Two C's, one S.
Yes, okay. You got it.
That's the thing. In this one, this is a tricky one because many people get worried about the C issue.
Mm-hmm.
They either miss that double C, or this is the question I always do. They think the S-I-N should be S-A-I-N or S-I-A-N. They feel like there should be an A in the latter part.
Oh.
It's funny. I would have, this one I knew how to spell, but if I were tempted to misspell it in a weird way, that's hard to exactly say, but I would have thought that double S would be common. S-S-I-N. Mm.
Yeah.
I know S-S-I-O-N is a very common ending in English. And S-S, but let me just, I'm going to write it down now.
That's what I'm trying.
Yeah, moccasin with double S doesn't, let me see.
It doesn't look right. To me, my issue would be that I would be tempted to throw in an A at the moccasin for moccasin. Some reason.
No, I wouldn't. N, to me, it's moccasin. I think that wouldn't be mine.
Yeah, I was only worried about the double letters. Yeah, that's all.
Okay, so you're not an asinine fellow.
Did you say asinine? You said I'm not asinine?
Yes. Yes.
I think... Despite how it sounds, I think asinine is just one S. A-S-I-N-I-N-E. Asinine.
Correct.
Yes.
That's what you said. The issue there is most people think that there should be a double S.
Yeah, for obvious reasons, right?
But mm-hmm. I have to throw in, which is one of my favorite things about assume, how you remember how to spell assume.
Uh-huh,
uh-huh. It's because if you assume, you make an S out of you and me. I think that's one of the best mnemonics ever. That's all.
And for me, speaking of ass, I thought that Katy Perry's recent remark when she went into space, did you hear that, Fletcher?
No.
Let's put the ass back in astronaut, which I thought, like, why?
Why not, Ross? She's wearing a suit.
Yeah, I didn't know it was there in the first place.
Okay, this one I actually know how to spell, but I always have to think. The word is braggadocio.
Yeah. So we've also, in addition to this spelling test here today, people may remember we've also been going through the hardest words of the SATs, and I've been having to spell.
This was in there.
Yeah, I've been having to spell those. So way back when we did the letter B, I believe braggadocio was there.
Let's remember it then, Fletcher. Test you.
That's so unlikely. B-R-A-G-G-A-D-O... CIO?
You got
Correct.
It!
Correct! Yeah.
You did it!
It's again, do you wanna use that the single C or do you wanna do a double C? The only reason I went with the single one is because I would have thought that like two C's would be a ch sound, but I don't think mm-hmm. one C is a sh sound, is it?
No, it should be a ch sound in Italian.
Yeah.
Well, this is a fake word though.
But to be fair, it's a fake word, exactly. Right. It was coined by Spencer. Basically playing off of the Italian, you know, it's faux Italian.
Yeah.
Everyone loved Italy in those early days, and he threw it in. But it's the only English word ending in O-C-I-O. So now you know a really fun,
really?
Interesting fact. Yes. Huh. You could bring that up at a next cocktail party you go to, Fletcher.
You'll wow them. Yeah. Yeah. You'll wow. You'll get extra hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah.
Next, Ross.
Okay, this is an interesting one because you were mentioning double C's, double S's. So we're going to give you one without any of that problem.
Oh, thank you.
Rarefy.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Rarefied air.
Yes. What does it mean, Fletcher? Let's tell us that, too.
Well, I mean, like, I always thought it was like if you're in rarefied air, you don't have a lot of peers. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but just give us like a flat definition.
I don't know. I don't know what rarefied.
Make thin, reduce the density up, which is correct how you said it. Rarefied air
would
be less dense
air.
Yeah, it's more refined. Yeah.
Okay. I definitely didn't really know it like that. I didn't.
But you knew, you would suss it out though if someone said.
I would
unless
know.
They're a chemist.
Like I would know what somebody meant if I saw that word in a sentence. But I mm-hmm. obviously I wouldn't have been able to tell you that definition. That does not
it's
sound.
It's funny. I'm I'm with you, Fletcher. Ross, honestly, I mean, I know that's technically it. I never think of it that way. I think of it as the you're more exalted. Ooh, rarefied. You're a
higher plane.
I agree with
you, but I was doing the technical definition, which is actually from the Latin, so I'm sorry, but you know, we won't go there. Yeah, let's
well,
just leave
a shock.
It.
Yeah.
Well, so I think it's RARIFY.
Oh, Fletcher, Fletcher, Fletcher.
Is it not?
Let's no. still, let's try one other word here. Okay, stupefy spell.
Yeah, STUPEFY. Rarify is with an
E. Oh.
Yes.
Yep.
Really? Well, I guess.
Yep.
I guess now that I think about. Rarified with the IED at the end. I guess there is an E there. Wow. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
All those old Latin people who gave you that word would have agreed with you. We have liquefy and putrefy as well as other words, which is torpify. We don't use torify.
Merriam-Webster said there are only 17 words that ended EFY. Three of them were beefy, reefy, and defy, which don't count.
Don't count.
So
yeah.
We're down to, like, what? So we're down to 14.
Yep. Califi.
And the others are, yeah, reliquify, torpify. I never even heard of these.
I would never use it. Tumefy, which I guess would mean to make it tumescent, would make it, like, sort of bigger.
Obstupefy, I kind of like.
Stupefy I would use. Mm-hmm. Liquefy,
no, obstupefy.
Obstupefy is fine, too, I think. I mean, I wouldn't use it, but it seems fine.
Okay, the next word is not at all stupefying, or maybe it is. The next word is pavilion.
Yeah, pavilion. I can see all these words in my head, and then I question whether I'm seeing the right thing in my head.
I keep on wanting to send them to you, and then I realize that kind of defeats the purpose.
Defeats it. But I think, Fletcher, you're allowed... I think, should he be allowed to write them out or not?
That's, yeah, he can, writing things out is not good radio.
He can write in the air like they do in script.
That doesn't work for me either. I don't have that kind of spatial... P-A-V-I-L-I-O-N, pavilion.
You got it. Okay, let's give you another quick question. What word is it related to? That's a common, it would be a scientific word nowadays for this common bug.
A bug, a common bug.
Or like in French, you should know that you would know the word in French too.
It's also a film.
Papillon?
Yes.
Papillon?
Yes, you got it. Papillon is the word, the original word.
Really?
Which is tent, which is butterfly, but when you think about it, in medieval Latin, tent sort of looked like butterflies on the land. Isn't that cool?
You remember that joke about the Spanish speaker and the French speaker and the German speaker?
And the German. Yes, I do. That's one of my all-time favorites.
Well, tell it to people here.
Okay,
let's go, Fletcher.
Right. So a French person and a Spanish person and a German person are all talking about their languages and how beautiful they are. And the French person brings up the French word for butterfly. It says papillon. You know, it's so beautiful. And the Spanish person says, yes, but mariposa. Isn't that just so gorgeous? It's even more beautiful than papillon. Mm-hmm. And the German person says, yeah, but what is wrong with der Schmetterling?
That is one of my favorite jokes in the world. And you know what? There's something winning about Schmetterling.
Sorry to all our German speaking listeners.
I was gonna say we're gonna get like angry letters from Germans.
That was
now.
Horrifying. I have German relatives.
That you're off
the
hook,
right?
You're,
I'm married to someone of German partial German origin too, so I think we're all okay.
And oh,
Candy
and Randy, I forgot.
Yeah.
Randy is
so we
German,
all are
in background. So yeah,
so we
we're
all
safe.
Have
all right, Schmetterling, baby.
Okay, now we have another word, Fletcher, on the same sort of line, and I think you're gonna get it instantly. Vermilion.
Oh, vermilion. It is along the same lines, but I don't think it's the same. V-E-R-M-I-L-L-I-O-N? It's really one L?
Yes, it is.
I thought you were trying to trick me.
I was hoping we could.
It was a double trick.
Okay, vermilion. What is vermilion? Is that a color?
It's a reddish color. It's actually a very nice color. And did it come from vermeil? Yeah, vermeil is related to it. Because I know vermeil from design stuff.
And it possibly came from vermiculus, which is a little worm in late Latin. And it's like when they made dyes, red dyes from a little, another bug, actually.
let me ask you guys something, and you may have never, ever thought about this before. If you hear a word and somebody tells you it's a color, but you don't know what color it is there a particular kind of color that you imagine, like, more often?
Well, that's an interesting question, because I always had the problem with, there was some color that I was really disappointed when I learned that what I had pictured was not the color.
Okay, I'm going to have a problem right now, because I don't know, I just saw the film, too, it was yesterday. Puce.
Oh, puce, right, so what do you imagine,
I don't really know what it is. I picture light purple.
That's not far off.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Picture puce to me has always been sort of more like a greeny, and I know I'm wrong, mm-hmm. but I always picture it sort of as that greeny color that I can't wear that I love.
That's interesting,
yellowy greeny color.
Yellowy greeny. Okay, see, this is what happens to me when I don't know what a color is. I picture a yellowy greeny type thing.
You do too? Oh, yeah. God, that's really
vermilion.
Weird.
Until you told me just now what vermilion is, I thought it was kind of yellowy greeny. This is why I asked.
Yeah, there was the same thing with a book I read as a kid that kept coming. Juniper, I always thought was yellowy greeny.
Yeah.
Is it juniper? Isn't it?
Is it? I don't know.
I thought juniper was. Hold on. This is really upsetting.
Juniper is in gin. I know that. I mean,
juniper color is green.
Green.
But it's not a yellowy green. A rich, verdant emerald green. With sharp blue undertones.
No. There's much more yellow in my head.
Yeah, you're getting farther and farther away from juniper in my head.
Periwinkle. What do you guys picture periwinkle
I know
as?
I know what periwinkle is, so. Did you say red?
That's what I picture it as.
Oh, wow.
I know it is, but I picture it as red.
Okay.
It's periwinkle blue, but I have to like go in my head and translate it into violet.
That's exactly it. You know? You hit the nail on the head. You translate the color in your head. That's perfect.
Yeah.
That is really what you do.
I have the same problem with cyan. I didn't know what cyan was for the longest time, and I thought it was kind of like a deep yellow, and I still do. Every time I see cyan, I think of that color in my head, and then I have to remember, no, it's that blue. Every time.
Cyan because of cyanide. And they always have people dying of cyanide poisoning and they turn blue-green. So I always picture it as that.
Oh my gosh, I never thought. Is that how you get cyanide? From cyan?
Yeah.
I never thought of that in my life.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah, no, I never did. Cyan color cyanide in Agatha Christie. You know? It's
and
so
they get
fun,
like bluish,
too.
Or they get greeny bluish.
Golly.
Even in my head, cyanide is like kind of a deep yellow.
With a little touch of green.
Okay, I've taken this way off track now.
I know. So, Fletcher, you're no imposter when it comes to
this
words.
This is a giveaway. This is a giveaway. Gimme.
This is hard. I can never, ever, ever remember. Also, I think it's spelled differently in different languages. Is it E-R? Imposter.
No.
It's O-R.
Okay, really? That's your answer?
I mean, I mean, they both look right to me because I think I've seen them. I think I've seen it written both ways. I am P-O-S.
It should be O-R. It should be O-R.
Okay.
And the problem that you're getting into here is E-R and O-R are both suffixes which indicate agentive, you know, that you're doing something.
Yeah.
They turn the verb into a noun.
I'm imposter.
Which is fine. And you can know we've talked a lot of times about how bad the Romans were, and the Romans did this to us. In regular English, er does it. Driver, driver. But in Latin word, the suffix is or. And the
Fendor.
problem is you get a lot of words, batter up, er. You're an imposter, or. I mean, you can't win on that one. You got to just know.
Dictator, or.
Right.
Well, I'm just going to interject and say I love the female forms of imposter. Back in the 1600s was Bacon used impostress, and Fuller, a historian, used impostrix.
Yeah.
I like them.
Yeah.
Impostrix.
You know what? Here's part of my problem. I watched a documentary one time. I'm looking it up right now. Called The Imposter, and it was spelled E-R.
Let's just see what Merriam-Webster says here. I'm going to do E-R, imposter. Merriam, I'm sorry. They have it as a synonym for imposter, but that's just, there's like, they have the O-R, though, and everything else.
O-R, O-R is preferred. E-R is becoming more common and is...
That one, I think, is who cares? You know, it's like you get the point comes across immediately what
well,
it is.
I mean, yeah. Who cares? Yeah, but I'm going to try to spell it O-R, you know, mm-hmm. Assuming I can remember... an hour from now.
Because, yeah.
Well,
I think it is that movie.
We'll remind you.
I think it is that movie, though, that messes me up, because I may have even written about the movie back when it came out, and having to write that ER has kind of messed
me up.
Gets
into your head.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're completely correct.
I think that's the thing, though, also, when it goes from your head to your hands, it gets drummed in somehow.
Oh, by all
it's
means.
It's the old thing.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's a great way to learn a language, actually. But I think one quick thing, though. I think one of the problems, though, with a lot of these words are they come from, like, dictate becomes dictator, mm-hmm. but it ends with an E. Mm-hmm. Operate becomes operator, which I think can be really confusing to language learners.
Okay. Accommodate.
No, come on. Really? I knew you were going to ask mm-hmm. me this one.
This is fun.
This always throws me, I must admit. And I know how to spell it, but I'm always second guessing myself.
All right. This one I actually do have to write down. They both look wrong. ACCOMODATE?
Nope.
It is two M's. Gosh darn it.
Yeah. Two C's. Two C's, two M's.
Like, it looks too long when I wrote it down.
It's
there.
Also really a killer if you from the Latin, because in Latin, accommodatus has one M, which is really annoying.
Yeah.
But it comes from a word, commodare, which has two M's in it. So knowing the background of this word kills you. It doesn't
help. It does? I thought accommodare has one M.
No, accommodare does. But it comes from ad, which is two, going to commodare.
Oh,
and commodare has two M's.
What?
Well, you know what? The Romans are dead now. I think we just, like, turn this all around. Make it more, like, less complicated.
Okay, let's
I've
eat some.
Enough.
Let's eat some mayonnaise now instead to make us feel good.
I think I can do mayonnaise.
Okay.
MAYONNAISE.
Perfect.
Yay! Alrighty.
Could you give us a quick etymology for the origin of mayonnaise, probably?
Something from mayonnaise.
If you get this, Fletcher... What?
You're an evil man, Ross.
It's something from a place called Mayon.
Ah, yeah. Mais oui, mais non. It comes from, apparently, they think from the island of Menorca, which was
really?
Captured by Spain. And
the capital of Menorca?
Exactly.
Ross?
I was going to say, the capital, Fletcher, is, I don't know how to pronounce it, Mahon? Mahon?
Mahon.
Mahon.
Ed McMahon. How did he say it?
Man. Yeah. Oh, interesting. So, I mean, it's certainly easier for us to put a Y there instead of an H.
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
Mayonnaise. Mayonnaise. Interesting.
You said that very nicely.
Did I? I made it up.
You did. That sounded very classy.
It does.
I was very impressed. And speaking of impressed... The next word, Ross?
Impresario.
I say impresario.
Impresario is what, yeah.
I have my A's all over the place, though. Particularly coming to Canada, because Canada has flatter A's, and I go back and forth. I'm all a mess. Anyway.
I-M-P-R-E.
Mm-hmm. That's the easy part, Fletcher.
Yeah, I know.
Let's go to the hard part.
I know. S-A-R-I-O, just one S?
You got it.
Okay.
One S, not two S's.
Right.
Two S's are a very common misspelling, and I can understand why.
Yeah, for sure. That doesn't look right to me, though, but neither did accommodate, so who knows.
But let's just do this one. I'm curious with Fletcher on this one.
The word is supersede.
Supersede, yeah. So the obvious... thing here. I mean, we know how to spell super, S-U-P-E-R. The question is...
Are
is,
you sure of that?
Yeah, I'm sure
no,
of that.
Sorry.
S-O-O-P-E.
I'm not...
S-O-U-R-O-S-P.
Well, okay, let's go, Fletcher.
Yeah,
what
I'm
is
not,
it?
I'm not that lost. Super... So if something supersedes... Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think of another word that would...
It's above. It's
yeah,
like you. Well, super, it's superseding. It's like superfly.
Is supersession a word?
You got this. You've got it. I'm sure you do.
I just can't remember which way it goes. I guess C-E-D-E.
Wrong.
Yeah, it's S-E-D-E, isn't it? Ah!
Yes, and this is interesting because we have a lot of words ending in C-E-D-E.
Right,
a seed,
I know.
Antecede, seed, concede, intercede, recede, secede.
It's interesting
all
to me,
of those.
You said accede instead of exceed. That's interesting.
Ah, I did. You're right. And that should have been probably X-seed. You're right. technically. The key thing here is C-E-D-E is from the Latin. Actually, in Latin, it really should have been a key de, whatever. But the C-E-D-E is to walk or to go back to. The S-E-D-E is to sit.
Yeah.
And supersede is you're sitting on something. On something. You're over something.
You're sitting above something. Above a something. Big chair.
Exactly.
Yep. I think I do this every time. I'll bet of all the words that we've talked about, accommodate and supersede are the two that I misspell 80 to 90% of the time.
I like the supersede. I completely agree with Fletcher. It's so, you just look at the pattern and you go, obviously it's seed. And then when you think about seed being kind of going backward or something, supersede could be you're going above backward. I don't know. It makes sense even that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What else? Does anything else end in S-E-D-E? No, it's the only verb ending in S-E-D-E.
I don't think it is any. Therefore, again, here we go. Yeah.
If we were in Germany, we'd be in Fat City.
Yes.
However, we are not.
But it's easy to remember when you think about it because it's supersede and seat is like seat. So you're sitting above.
For me, I'm with you on the accommodate. That one I always have to stop, sit, and think, and then I punt.
Yeah, it's easy. It looks okay with the 1C actually to me.
1C? Oh.
I think that... for me, it's the M that throws me off. M. It's interesting.
Now looking at that's funny because for me, it's the C. Oh, I see.
Interesting.
Either way looks fine.
And you know what? I think we should just start a new rule. Anyway is fine. They're all fine. I'm going to accommodate you all. You know?
One real danger nowadays, though, is the spell check on your computer.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, I mean, I'll make these common mistakes and it just automatically does it. So I don't even bother thinking about it anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay, fine. Thank you. And keep going.
I think we need to talk more, write less. Okay?
Yes.
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petrus records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petrus from his home in Toronto, Ontario in Canada. Torrin Anderson composed our theme music, and our digital team is Beth Golay, Kate Hutchins, and Carly Cooper. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic, or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org or email them at kandrpetrus@gmail.com. You can also email us a voice memo of you asking it your question. You might get your voice heard on air. If you'd like to do the same thing by downloading the KMUW app, you can do that and just click the Talk to Us button. You can find all of Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Planet Money helps you understand the economy. We find the people at the center of the story.
Garbage in New York, that was like a controlled substance.
We show you how money influences everything.
Tell me what you like by telling me how you spend your money.
And we dig until we get answers.
I had a bad feeling you're going to bring that up.
Planet Money finds out. All you have to do is listen. The Planet Money podcast from NPR.